I'm Dan Brown, and I'm the lead pastor here at Abundant Life Worship Center. And today we are going to be talking about the fact that the prayer of faith changes everything. You're going to be blessed by this. I think it's going to be something that can make a difference in your life. So let's get right to it. Well, thank you for joining us today. Hey, we are living in quite a season right now. So many things happening. And I just want to encourage you, God is a good God, and He is available, and He wants us to play a part in what He does right here on this earth. And today specifically, I want to look at the fact that the prayer of faith changes everything. So what is the prayer of faith? And how can we operate and be praying and declaring things in faith? So let's look at that today. I want to read you a verse from the Bible right now. It's from James chapter 5, verse 14 to 15. And it says this: Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. All right, here's another verse on this same idea of the prayer of faith. Because you see, the prayer of faith, what you need to know right away is that it must be spoken or prayed by us. All right, it's not something we can just think about. It's not something we can just hope or wish for. We actually have to use our mouths in prayer or declaring this thing that we're believing for. So John chapter 16 and verse 23 to 24 says this: In that day, it's Jesus talking, by the way, to his followers, and he says, In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. You know, I think of how much Christ loves people and how much good God wants to do. He is a God that desires to do miracles. He's a God that desires to heal. He said in his word, I am the Lord that heals you. That's the kind of God we serve. You see, he doesn't bring sickness upon people to teach them something. That's not scriptural. Remember, Jesus came in the flesh. He was the manifest presence of God the Father. He came and he showed us what God was like. You know, Jesus never once on his ministry on earth put sickness on anybody to teach them something. No, it said he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So you can be sure of that. And when you're praying and declaring, you can be sure of the God, you can be sure of Jesus who you serve, that he wants healing to come. All right, so Jesus is telling his followers, go ahead and ask, pray, and ask anything in my name. And when you're asking in his name, it simply means you're asking something that you know is in line with what he would want. And so we do that and we believe for good things. You know, I think about a recent testimony that we heard here at our church. We had a lady in our church who came for prayer, and she was quite discouraged and really quite worried as she found a lump in her chest. And she had gone to the hospital and they had verified, yes, there's a large lump there and we need to get this checked out quickly. And you know, when something like that, you get a diagnosis like that, it's easy for fear to come in. But this lady believed for prayer, and she asked many people to pray, not just us. And we did pray. And I remember as we prayed and we said, you know, God wants you healed. We're going to believe for healing. And I said, you know, when you go to that exam, they're not going to be able to find anything. You know, sometimes we're asking for that. Sometimes we're declaring it. Sometimes God's saying it prophetically to encourage and give us something to press forward to. And this lady went with her husband to her appointment. Now, they had checked her before. The nurse had said, yes, there's a lump. They found, they knew exactly where it was. It had been written down on the form. They went to get this exam now where they could do x-rays and possibly even check to see what it might be. When they went to this meeting and this lady shared with us, you know, that morning when we got up, the lump was definitely there and they headed off to this appointment. When they were in the appointment, the nurse couldn't find it. She couldn't find it. So they went ahead, they did an x-ray, they did what was necessary. There was no lump there. Completely gone, completely healed. Because that is the kind of God we serve. He wants people healed. But he asks us to get involved. He asks us to pray and believe. He asks us to declare in faith. You see, God gets us involved in the process. He has made available healing, but we are told to receive it. And the way we receive it is with our mouths and with believing in our heart. Very similar to salvation. So I want to encourage you to step into speaking and believing, praying in faith. Now, the prayer of faith must be spoken. And the second thing I want to tell you about the prayer of faith is you need to believe what you're praying or declaring. There can't be any doubt. Let's see what God's word says about that. James chapter 1, 6 to 7. It says, but let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. You see, Scripture tells us that if we are doubting, we are like that wave of the sea. It goes up, it goes down. It goes up, it goes down. One minute, yeah, it could happen. No, it can't happen. Or maybe, no, there's just no way. We can't be that kind of person. That is not a prayer of faith. That is more of a wish. I hope it could happen. You know, maybe like, it just, no. We cannot be up and down. We must believe without doubt. All right? Look at Mark chapter 11, verse 22 to 24. This is Jesus speaking again to his followers. And Jesus answered them and said, have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you've received it, and it will be yours. So this is an amazing verse of Christ explaining to his followers that we need to believe what we're praying or declaring. You see, whatever we ask in prayer, if we believe we received it, we receive it. If we believe what we're saying or declaring, it says we receive it. Now, here's the thing. How do we believe it? You know, that's easy to say, oh, I believe. How do we really have a knowing that this is actually can happen, will happen, because we've prayed it or declared it? Now, obviously, one of the main things we need to know who provides the power, who provides the supernatural healing, miracle power when we get involved. And of course, that is Christ. When we know him, when we understand what he wants for people, we suddenly are able to believe it without doubt. You know, we talk about miracles, and we've been blessed to see many over the years of ministry. I think of another miracle right now, and there's a couple, they haven't yet shared it at the church, and I won't mention names, I'll really briefly share it. But another story of God doing miracles. There is a couple here at our church, and the spouse, and these are all recent miracles. Recently, within a number of months ago, she had lung issues and very difficult time breathing, to the point that she was at the hospital a number of different times. They took x-rays, they found black spots in her lungs, and they were very concerned. She was very, very sick, and I remember praying for her a couple of times, seeing while she's very sick. And my wife and I talked to the couple and asked, could we come to your home and really pray for you? And we went to their home. Both her and her husband were there. And we just begin to pray. Now, before we went, I also took a whole bunch of scripture for them about how God heals. But this couple is a couple that has faith and understand God wants to bring healing. And we prayed for them and believed that for God's healing power to flow through her no matter what. We broke off some things and just went as the Holy Spirit led. And I remember even as we were praying, the Holy Spirit showed that they were also believing for a baby to be pregnant. You know, and so we just shared that with them as we're believing. We're believing for healing because she is at a point where the doctors are concerned she might not live. And God's saying, no, you're going to live. And oh, yes, I'm going to bless you with the baby. That's how God is. Now, we just declare what we feel him saying. The miracle part is up to him. Well, we heard from them over time that they went down to the doctor. Now, the doctor was specialist. They were actually going to go in and take a piece, but before they did, they wanted to take a final x-ray, see where they're going with this, you know, and how it's going to take place. Well, when the doctor did that x-ray, there were no black spots. Not a single one. The doctor came to them and he was somewhat excited and perplexed and said, I have this x-ray, they're here. This x-ray, they're not. They're gone. The lady's breathing problems, obviously completely gone, healed, getting stronger over the weeks and months ahead. And now they have announced to us and everybody in the church that, guess what? They are expecting. It's going to be their first child. And what an amazing blessing, because God is that good. But he asks us to get involved. And we must be willing to pray the prayer of faith or declare what he's putting on our heart. So having no doubt is extremely important. And we can have no doubt when we know how good he is and the desire of his heart. All right, I want to say this. This is actually my last point. It might take a bit to finish, but this is my last point on the prayer of faith. And it's this. The prayer of faith or declaring things is not a one-time event. You must be persistent. All right, let me give you a verse about that. Luke 11, verse 1 to 10. This is Jesus again teaching his followers. This is, now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he finished, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. And of course, he tells them the Lord's Prayer, one of the most famous prayers there is. Many people know it. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive our sins as we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Interestingly, Jesus gives them this prayer. They're saying, teach us to pray. In other words, they want to be effective in their prayer life. They've seen Jesus. He prays and he heals people. It seems like whatever he says happens. And they're saying, teach us. We want to pray like that. And so he gives them this prayer. And as you look at the prayer, we're not going to go in detail on the Lord's Prayer right now. But he gives them that prayer, and he tells them some important things. First, in prayer, you're glorifying God. Secondly, you're asking for his will to come here on earth the same way it is in heaven. In other words, you're saying, Lord, let your plan and purpose be done right here in my life, in my town, in my country, exactly how your will is done in heaven. There's no sickness in heaven. I'll just say that for you. There's no death in heaven. There is no pain. God brings good things. And then he brings into this prayer asking God to forgive us and as we've forgiven others. You see, forgiveness, for you to have faith when you're praying, for you not to doubt, you need to make sure that you allow forgiveness to be in your life. Often people's prayers are hindered or they have doubt when they're guilty about something they've done and hasn't been dealt with. Here they are asking God, and all of a sudden guilt comes over. Oh, yeah, but I... Listen, there's an easy solution for that type of doubt. Go to God, ask Him to forgive you, and ask Him for the strength to turn away from the thing you've been doing wrong. Immediately, the doubt from guilt leaves, and you can believe God will do anything for you. He does it for you because of what Christ already paid on the cross, not because of how perfect you are or aren't. But you must allow forgiveness to come, and you must be willing to forgive others if you want to pray the prayer of faith without doubting. All right, so I'm just going to leave it at that. I don't want to take too much time today as we look at this. Then Jesus continues on right in the next verse on his teaching of how to pray. And in verse 5, he said to them, "Which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within and say, 'Don't trouble me, the door is shut, my children are with me in bed, I can't rise and give to you.' I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he's his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs." So Jesus is telling his followers part of being able to pray the prayer of faith that creates and has results is persistence. It is not a one-time event. You need to be willing to go after it, to speak it again and again. Let me give you a story that I believe shows this clearer than any other story in Scripture. And it's from the Old Testament, and it's from the book of Exodus. This is the story of Moses and God's people, and God wants to lead his people out of slavery. You see, God comes to Moses in the wilderness where he's looking after sheep, and God tells him, "I've heard the prayers and the cries of my people. I've seen their sorrows, and I'm going to take them out of slavery." In other words, he's going to set them free. He's going to take the burden from them. And he looks at Moses and says, "So, I need you to go do this." You see, God is ready and willing to get involved in our world, in our lives, and he says, "This is what I'm ready to do. I just need you to do this." And what did he ask Moses to do? He said, "Moses, I want you to go to Pharaoh, and I want you to declare to him, 'Let my people go.'" Now, Moses had a lot of excuses, and he wasn't too into this, but he finally agreed, "Okay, I will go." Now, Moses comes to the people of God, the Israelites, and tells them, "This is what God said. I'm going to go to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh's going to let you go." And it actually tells us in Exodus chapter 5 that the people were excited. They believed Moses. They were like, "This is awesome. God's going to set us free." And Moses heads off to Pharaoh to declare, "Let my people go." Now, you see, Moses and the people believed that this was going to be quick, this was going to be easy. And yes, they did believe. But the thing is, they felt it was going to be a one and done. "We're going to go say it, it's going to happen, it's going to be awesome." And God doesn't always do things that way. So here, Moses goes, Pharaoh looks at him and says, "Yeah, who are you? I'm not going to do anything you say." And then he tells his guards, his supervisors, "Don't give the people of Israel straw anymore for making bricks. Make this 10 times harder on them." So it actually gets worse, not better. They are not set free. They are in more bondage and more pain. And the people get angry at Moses. And Moses is completely, "God, did you lie to me? What is going on?" In verse 22 and 23 of chapter 5 in Exodus, we read this. "Then Moses went back to the Lord and protested, 'Why have you brought all this trouble on your own people? Why did you even send me? Ever since I came to Pharaoh as your spokesman, he has been more brutal to your people. and you have done nothing to rescue them. It sounds like Moses is upset at God. Did you know God doesn't have a problem with you coming to him when you're upset? He just wants you to come to him. And God answers Moses. You see, God begins to speak to him throughout the chapter, and if you want to go read it, there's a lot there. But God is basically telling him, Moses, I'm going to set my people free, but here's the thing, Moses, you're going to need to go to Pharaoh multiple times and declare, let my people go. Okay, so the prayer of faith, declaring something and seeing results, is not a one-time thing. So Moses listens and he will go. You see, the thing is, Moses has to go back and declare to Pharaoh. And if you read through the story and count the number of times that he went, it's approximately 17 times that Moses goes before Pharaoh's face. Now, I know there wasn't that many plagues, but you see, Moses went initially, and then Moses went back some of the plagues to go in Pharaoh's face and then remove the plague. 17 times going before the ruler of the then world, who had the power to destroy or kill him if he chose to. But of course, with God on his side and the willingness to be persistent in declaring what he knew God had said, it would happen. And the amazing thing about it is God said, it's not going to happen quickly, Moses. You hoped it would, you wanted it to, but it's not going to be quite as quick as you think. But it will happen, and throughout the entire process, I will be glorified. And that is exactly what happened through the plagues, through the miracles, and God did set his people free. Finally, Pharaoh gives in after all the plagues, and he says, go, take everybody with you. And as they went, the Egyptians blessed them and poured into them whatever they needed, gold and silver and supplies and provisions. They went out free, wealthy, and blessed. But it happened when someone was willing to listen to God and declare, even when it wasn't easy. Someone was willing to believe and speak, even when it wasn't easy. I want to encourage you today, whoever you are listening to this, I don't know what your situation is, but you can go to God's word and you can trust it. When you hear his word and he is putting on your heart to declare a thing, you declare it and you declare it again. And friend, if you declare it and it looks worse the next day, and it looks worse the next day, you declare it again. God's word will not fail, but it is up to us to believe. I think of that story of Moses. What if he had given up after the first try? What if he had just said, obviously, God, it didn't happen because, you know, I was pretty sure it was going to be like this and this, and it wasn't. I'm going back to looking after sheep. Who cares about your people? Wow. Would have been a different story, wouldn't it? Because the people had already given up. Moses was mad at God, but God said, no, you go do it again. I want to encourage you. Whatever your situation, you do it again. And let me specifically say today, if you're watching this in the season it's recorded, you know that our world is in a time of pandemic or COVID. And I want to encourage you, if you're a believer, you know that God doesn't bring sickness, then I want to encourage you to declare that the numbers take a nosedive and finally disappear. I want you to declare and believe that because of what Jesus did on the cross, COVID is defeated. If you will declare that and believe it, you will see a change. I have no doubt in my spirit, God has said it will end and the numbers will drop steeply, and I believe quickly. Now, I know God's timing and mine are not always the same, but you will see God do amazing things. Speak it in faith, declare it boldly. God has something amazing in store for you. Hey, if you're watching this today, and maybe you've never accepted Christ into your life, you don't know the amazing love and healing power that he wants to provide, I want to give you an opportunity right now. Listen, He simply says, if you want me in your life, if you want your sins forgiven, you just need to use your mouth and confess it. Believe in your heart. And so right now, if that's you and you're like, you know what, I've never experienced Christ. Can I do that? Yes, you can. I want you to pray this prayer after me right now. Just say this. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me. I ask you right now, forgive me for all I've done wrong. Make me new. Change my life. Lord, I am yours. Thank you now for setting me free. Listen, if you prayed that, we want to hear from you. Go ahead and send us a private message on the platform you're watching, or head over to our website, alwc.church, and connect with us. We want to encourage you. And friend, if you're going through some trials right now, if you have someone in your life that is sick and you want to reach out to us to pray, same thing. Send us a message. Get hold of us on the website. We are praying and believing for amazing things. We want to see God glorified, and we know He is always, always good. Thank you so much for listening. God bless you. We'll see you next time.